for giving sermons that were basically a dramatic, a powerful encounter with the Word of God. Scripture that was spoken with music and with props and just really cool things. She also was known for giving sermons that Amy Semple McPherson gave. She memorized them and dressed up like Amy Semple McPherson and gave these sermons. And I mean, every time you see her, you just think, this is amazing. Wow. She loves Jesus deeply and is a nationally known and respected evangelist. And when they called me to become a part of the Church on the Way, to be the pastor here, I found out then that she was on the staff here. And I was so, so happy that she was going to be on our team. Karen Heimbach is a very, oh, that's who I'm talking about, Karen Heimbach. She is a very important part of the Church on the Way's team. She leads our Thursday prayer and healing service where great, great, powerful things happen. She preaches at that and leads that. She also directs our choir on Easter and Christmas. And she's a delight to be around. She's a great servant, and she hears the Lord. So I'm excited to hear what God has to say through Karen over the next 25 or 30 minutes. Can you be ready and listen, and can we welcome Karen Heimbach as she comes and joins us? Hey, Karen, we're going to get your pulpit up here, and we're running a little late, but you have all the time I told you you had, okay?
I see the big clock right
No, you,
there.
You have even more time.
I see the writing
you,
on the wall.
Yeah, right there. Go ahead and take your 30 minutes. That's great.
Great,
yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Praise God. Feel like a judge up here. Such a nice big pulpit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and lift our voices and lift our heads to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship you, God. You are the all-worthy one. You are the almighty one. There is no one like our God, no one like our King. You are the all-merciful God. Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We bow our hearts and bow our heads and bow our knees before your throne. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ, the only name that has been given to men whereby we must be saved. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your name, the awesomeness of your name, the authority of your name, and that you have given your name to your children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these moments that we have in your precious word, Lord, and I pray that your word would go deep, deep, deep down into the soil of our hearts. Let it be good soil for your seed, the word of God today. Let it bear forth fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm very delighted, surprised to have this unusual opportunity to speak to you on a Sunday morning. I regularly get to enjoy the fellowship of Thursday congregants that come over and we meet in the prayer chapel and we just see the Lord do marvelous things. And, you know, fellowship is what it's about, having in common, not just being together, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ in common with one another. I guess it's a burden. I'd call it the burden of the Lord. You don't want any other kind of burden. It's too heavy to bear. But when it's a burden of the Lord's already in the yoke with you, and he's pulling, he's bearing the weight of it. But this is an excellent, excellent word, and I wanted to start it off with famous last words and some not so famous last words. How many of you remember what the Roman gladiator's salute to Caesar was? We who are about to die, salute you. How many remember the American spy in the Revolutionary War, Nathan Hale? Remember his famous last line? That's Patrick Henry. I know that one. I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. John Quincy Adams, one of our presidents who died in 1848, he said, "This is the last of earth. I am content." This one is said, they couldn't hit an elephant from this distance. That was General John Sedgwick, minutes before he was shot by a Confederate sniper. Here's one that you'll recognize. Well, boys, do your best for the women and children, and look out for yourselves. Captain Edward J. Smith of the Titanic. Take a step forward, lads. It will be easier that way. So said Robert Eskeen Childers, who was an Irish patriot, addressing his firing squad in 1922. Don't let it end like this. Tell them I said something. That was Pancho Villa, the Mexican revolutionary. Here's what you might not know. No, you certainly can't. That was President John F. Kennedy replying to Nellie Connolly's comment, you certainly can't say that the people of Dallas haven't given you a nice welcome, Mr. President. Here's one, I'd rather be skiing. That was said by Stan Laurel of Laurel and Hardy. He quipped to his nurse that he'd like to go skiing, and she asked if he was a skier. He said, no, but I'd rather be skiing than doing what I'm doing. Don't worry, they usually swim backwards. That was Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, shortly before he was stabbed in the chest by a stingray. You might remember this one. Oh, wow, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Steve Jobs of Apple Computers. If all the swords in England were pointed against my head, your threats would not move me. I am ready to die for my Lord, that in my blood the church may obtain liberty and peace. So said Thomas à Becket, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury and martyred in 1170. I enjoy heaven already in my soul. My prayers are all converted into praises. Augustus Toplady, who was the author of the great hymn, Rock of Ages, who died at the age of 38. You can remember Paul's last words written to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. We'll do you one better. It's found in Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Hopefully we'll have it on the screen here. We can read it together. I'm going to read for you, and then when we come up to the words of Jesus, I want you to read them aloud with me, all right? Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. These are Jesus' last words prior to his ascension. His last words concern our need to receive the power of his Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8 is the key verse for the whole book. It explains that the power of the church comes from the Holy Spirit and not from man. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." God's people experienced repeated fillings in the Acts of the Apostles as they faced new opportunities and new obstacles. And ordinary people were able to do extraordinary things because of the beautiful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Witness is a key word in the book of Acts, and it resonates at least 29 times, whether in noun form or verb form, and it's just a huge part of this book and our understanding. A witness, obviously, or maybe not so obviously, it's supposed to be somebody who tells of what they've seen or heard. When you go into a court of law, they're not interested. The judge does not want to know what your opinions are. He does not want, or she does not want to know, what your ideas are on the matter. All they want to know is the facts. Nothing but the facts. What did you see? What did you hear? No, I didn't ask that question. No, don't put in. Just yes or no, just this or that. Very clear. Where there's not nobody else could muddy up the waters. That's what a judge wants in his or her courtroom. And this word for witness in the Greek is where we get the word for martyr. And how many times witnesses sealed their witness with their own life, giving up their own life. Now, not all of the Lord's followers were in the upper room when he said, wait for the promise from my Father. Wait. There was at least 500 people that saw Jesus at one time after he had been resurrected and before his ascension. But there were only 120 out of the 500 that responded to the call of the upper room. You know, I think the percentages kind of have remained the same down through the centuries. There always are that one-fifth of the populace, of the church body, that want to come. More of Jesus, more of his Spirit, hungry and humble to ask for more, and grateful to serve. But look what the Lord did anyway with just 120. They turned the world upside down. Yeah. How did that happen? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Dr. Vance Havner said this, "We are not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God." Say it again, because I don't know if it's on the screen or not. So let me say it again. We are not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. So that's just an overview there of Acts chapter 1. Now we're into Acts chapter 2. And there's this 10-day prayer meeting in the upper room. The Spirit came. The people heard the sound of a rushing wind, and they saw tongues of fire. The Spirit baptized. The Holy Spirit filled the believers. And then the Holy Spirit spoke as they praised God in various languages that were understood by other Jews who had come for the Feast of Pentecost into Jerusalem. They heard their own language being spoken, but it was unfamiliar to the ones who were speaking it. And they were giving praise to God. The Holy Spirit empowered Peter to preach. And then the Holy Spirit convicted the listeners so that 3,000 of them trusted Christ and were saved in one day. The Spirit came. The Holy Spirit has always been active since the creation of the world. It says in Genesis 1 that the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit's always been there. The Holy Spirit's been there upon Moses and then upon the 70. on the elders there so they would understand more of the Lord and how to support Moses, the leadership experience. But here was the difference now in the New Testament. And now because Jesus had ascended to the Father, the Holy Spirit could come now and he would dwell. He would dwell with man. And he would be in people and his presence would be permanent and not a temporary just delighting upon. But we now can enjoy the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of God is in this place. Did you not feel the Spirit of God? Sense the Spirit of God. Resonate to the Spirit of God. There's nothing wrong with emotions. If I'm saying feeling, I'm also describing that which comes from our spirit. And we're reaching out to God. If there's something in you that's like, I can't stay seated. I have to stand and lift my hands to God. I have to lift my voice to God. Or as Pastor Tim often does, I have to kneel before the Lord. He's holy, oh so holy, oh so holy, oh so holy. And when you finally catch a glimpse of the 24 elders that are worshiping around the throne of God day and night, and they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Then, my friend, you are a citizen of heaven and not of this earth. Then you know where your citizenship belongs. And you act more like heaven than earth. I remember when my father was dying, the week before my father died, I said, I think he's going soon. He's just too good for this earth. I just felt like he was living more there than here. And I just had a sense he would be leaving us. The Holy Spirit filled. The filling of the Spirit has to do with power for witness and service. Some people say, oh, well, let's see. I'm going to check this off. Check. No, I don't think I need that. No, that's an option. I can, you know, it's like you're filling out a form for a new car and you want to know what all the bells and whistles. I'll take this bell, but not that whistle. Hey, listen, Holy Spirit's neither a bell nor a whistle. He is the car. He is the power. He is the engine. And we need the Holy Spirit for witness. We need the Holy Spirit for service. He is absolutely essential. We need to be filled to the overflow with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled. And it says in Ephesians 5:18 that we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit because we need his power constantly if we're going to remain effective. So the baptism of the Spirit means that I belong to his body, the body of Christ. That happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. But the fullness of the Spirit means that my body belongs to him. And Jesus has brought us his Holy Spirit and he has baptized us. So this baptism is final, but the fullness is repeated and repeated and repeated as we trust God for new power to witness. Hey, is today a new day for you? I guess we need more of the Holy Spirit. You need a new filling. You need a fresh filling. You need a fresh unction. You need fresh oil from the Lord Jesus Christ. The believers continue to use the temple for their place of assembly and ministry, but they also met in various homes. I mean, it was spilling out everywhere. 3,000 plus people, and every day there's more people coming to Christ, coming to Christ. What are they going to do with them all? Well, come on in. Bring some pizza. Bring whatever you bring, you know, I don't know. Bring some unleavened bread with a lot of hummus. I don't know, whatever it is that you like. There was a lot of fellowship, and it happened daily, every day. They were in somebody else's home just enjoying the presence of the Lord and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christians that you meet in the book of Acts were not content to meet for just once a week or for services as usual. They met daily. They cared daily. They won souls daily. They searched the scriptures daily. They increased in number daily. All of these referenced in the book of Acts. It was a day-to-day reality for them, not a once-a-week routine. Why? Because the risen Christ was a living reality to them. And they knew that his resurrection power was at work within their lives through his Holy Spirit. Now we're to Acts chapter 3. And the emphasis here in this chapter is the name of the Lord Jesus. Name, of course, implies authority. It implies reputation and power, not just identification. That's very important, too. But the name of the Lord Jesus has all authority behind it. For he is the Son of God. And because his name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the name that is above every name. Oh, there's a sweet name. Sometimes it's just enough to say his name, and it's a prayer. It's a whole prayer. I remember when I was going up the grapevine. Years ago, my father was following me. I was living in Burbank at the time. And I don't know how they did it. Well, now I do. I figured it out. But it was just, here I had this car coming at me in the fast lane, head on. And they'd crossed over. I was just climbing up the other side of the grapevine, you know. And there was that place, you know, where the highway patrol will switch sides. But this was not a highway patrol. It was coming right at me. And all I could say... Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I could say. Jesus. I couldn't get anything else out. Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling you what, it was, I mean, just at the last like 20 feet maybe, he, you know, and my father behind me saw the tires on his car bend like this, trying to miss me, and people behind me trying to miss me. And they did, thank God. Helps to have your father's angels hanging around too, you know. Yeah, I need all the angels I can get. But anyway, so his name is above every name, and he deserves our worship and obedience. Why? Because his name is above every name, and he deserves our worship and obedience. Why? Because his name is above every name, and he deserves our worship and obedience. Why? Because his name is above every name. Okay. Here we go. The great concern of the first Christians is the same thing that beat in the heart of the Holy Spirit to glorify the name of Jesus. Yeah. How many of you can attest to the fact that you feel, oh, when you hear the Savior's name drug in the mud? Oh, please don't use his name in vain. I don't talk about your mother or your father or your brother. I don't use their name in vain. Please don't use my Lord's name in vain. It's just a sickening feel that people think they can get away doing that. And so this is why, and it should grieve us. It should grieve us. We should be tender to that. So, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. There were 9 gates that led from the court of the Gentiles into the temple. And the scholars are not agreed, but the beautiful gate was probably the eastern gate that led into the court of women. It was made of Corinthian bronze, and therefore it shone like gold. Very impressive. And it was certainly a choice place for a lame man to beg. This would be a very popular place for beggars to go and get some, you know, soft-hearted people going to church. Okay, pull out your pockets. So giving of alms was a very important part of the Jewish faith, and the beggars found it profitable to be near the temple. But if you read the end of Acts chapter 2, you see that all the believers were so much of one heart and mind that they pooled their resources to be a blessing to one another. So literally and very honestly, Peter and John could say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. You know, that old little Sunday school song, maybe you don't know it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this beggar had been lame since birth. And he was over 40 years old, and he was taken by the hand, and up he came, and immediately his ankle bones, all the joints took strength, and he was leaping and jumping and rejoicing and making a huge scene, and the Sadducees hated it. Sadducees could not stand scenes Pharisees could not stand scenes. Religious people cannot stand scenes. But I'll tell you what, if you know that Jesus has saved you from the pit of hell, if you know Jesus has lifted your feet off of the miry clay and set you on top of a rock, I'll tell you, there's something to shout about. And I'm not sorry for shouting about it. Praise God. Praise God. We don't want to be religious. We don't want to be, we want to be holy. Big difference. Don't be religious, be holy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't be religious, be holy. And this excitement brought us to Acts chapter 4. Do we have 5 more minutes? Okay. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many of the people who heard the message believed, and the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what right, what name have you done this miracle? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to one who has been crippled and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you completely healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's eyes to obey you rather than God. Because we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Hallelujah. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable to speak your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they finished praying, the place where they were meeting was shaken, And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. We talked about that earlier. We sang about that in worship today. We sang about the shaking of the presence of the Lord Most High. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. In Exodus 19, it talks about the mountain of the Lord and how it was smoking because of the presence of the Lord, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Psalm 114:7, tremble earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. And a beloved passage of scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. With two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. We need to be anointed with fresh oil, don't we, today, for every occasion, whether it be an opportunity or whether it be an obstacle. We need the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, God will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him, for they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit. Mold me.